Hey Beeps, it's me, Christine, and I want to share with you a game-changing product that has improved my sleep and daily health. So let's dive in. You all know through my journey, I have struggled with sleep, being afraid of it, not getting quality sleep, and not being able to regulate my temperature throughout the night. I definitely learned the hard way, but sleep matters big time. It's when your muscles repair, your brain detoxes, and your body can work on cellular renewal. We just can't afford to miss out on an adequate amount of high-quality sleep, which is kind of hard when you have a rare disease. There's not much that I control in this real life, but one of the easiest and most effective ways to get better sleep every single night is through temperature regulation. Studies actually prove cooler temperatures lead to a deeper, more restful sleep, and that insomniacs actually lack this natural drop in core body temperature, which is what keeps them up at night. Personally, I run hot. This means that even if my room is super cold, I wake up in a pool of sweat, uncomfortable, changing my clothes several times throughout the night. It's frustrating for obvious reasons, and this is why I was so relieved to discover this transformative product from Chili. The Cube from Chili Sleep is a system that fits right over the top of your mattress and uses water to control the temperature of your bed, which helps lower your internal temperature and triggers deeper, relaxing sleep. Since water has 30 times more thermal conductivity than air, these systems are a lot more effective than just cranking up the AC. I mean, I keep my house at 65, so it has to be true. Ever since I started using the Cube system, I've noticed I fall asleep a lot faster, sleep deeper, and wake up feeling fully rested. Now, my wife is not a polar bear like me and likes to sleep a little bit warmer. So I love that we can each have our own temperatures on either side of the bed. Chili products can range between 55 and 115 degrees. Right now, Chili is offering my audience a really great deal. When you go to chilisleep.com/findyourrare20, you get 20% off the Cube All Sleep Systems with Find Your Rare 20. Sleep is something we could all use more of, and we can all take small steps towards getting better sleep to improve our life in big ways. I hope you'll check out the Chili Sleep System and see why I love their product so much. Hey peeps, welcome to another episode of Because We Are Strong. Before diving into this week's story, I just want to say thank you to all the guests who have come on the show and all the listeners who have tuned in every week to hear each other's story. I am truly honored to be a part of this community. Together, we will make the invisible visible. On that note, this week, I am so excited to talk to Amy Grover. Amy Grover has been advocating, educating, and empowering the rare disease patient community for over 13 years. She stands at the helm of the Catalyst Patient Outreach Initiatives, making bonds stronger for a mutually beneficial existence. I'm your host, Christine, so let's dive in.
This is the Because We're Strong podcast, where we sit down every week to get your stories and insight on how to navigate this rare life. You can expect everything real and raw in the hopes that your story, along with ours, helps another person who is dealing with a similar rare struggle. So grab your favorite drink, a comfy blanket, and buckle in, because rare disease isn't for the faint of heart.
Welcome, Amy. Thank you so much for being here with us today.
Hi, Christine. Thank you so much for having me. I am truly honored to be here.
Amy, you have a longstanding advocacy relationship with the rare disease community. Can you just tell us a little bit about how you got here, how you got on this rare path?
Well, it's an interesting story. I think with most people that are in the rare disease community, they don't come out into the world and say, I want to go into the rare disease community. Normally, they're thrown into it, pushed into it. But for me, it was just, working with Global Genes, and Global Genes is a nonprofit that advocates for all 7,000 rare diseases. And it just so happens that a very dear friend of mine, Nicole Boyce, was starting it. She was passionate about educating and helping the rare disease community because a friend of hers had a son with a rare disease. And she wanted to dive into this world and help out. And so I just kind of came in with her and not really knowing, to be honest, a lot about the rare disease community. And I have actually, five siblings. Three of them do have a rare disease. I didn't know at the time it was technically a rare disease. So I learned a lot right away, just grew with the company. As the company grew, I grew with it. And then I just kind of developed that passion. As you can develop that passion and that, wanting to help, because there's so much work to be done. So I just was there for 10 plus years, before moving on to where I am at now.
Wow. I'm just like, honestly, I think that gave me goosebumps. We love Global Gene. So that's just a shout out over there. They're doing amazing work. And I just feel, I guess someone in whose life completely changed at 27, just want to say, like, thank you, because there's not enough people who are noticing this community outside of being in it. And when you're in it, it's super hard to advocate and be trustful of the system, if that makes sense, when you're so tired, when you're so going to have these doctors. So I can't even, thank you enough for just finding passion. I always say, like, become aware of this before it affects you. And what you said about your siblings, I had the same experience. I had like three of my close relatives had rare diseases. And I'm like, how did I miss that? Like, how did I miss this invisible thing that like affects them so much? And it was truly eye-opening.
It truly is, because people, you see stories out there in the media, you see them on, the news, and you say, they mention the rare disease and they mention that it's a rare disease, but people don't correlate it that it's a massive community of 1 in 10 Americans. And the challenges are very similar and the struggles are similar. And I think there's so many in the rare disease community that have been shouting for years and years. And it's frustrating that their voices are not heard like they should be heard.
I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, one of the reasons I even started any of this was because I felt so alone. And it shouldn't be, when you see a title in the headlines, right? Like, it's always like just that, child has shocking rare disease, insert X amount of money that, people are trying to raise, like how wonderful this is. And then it's like they go to the next headline without truly understanding, like grasping, like you said, what that means to be in this community and how many are among them, And, I always say, I just wish I would have never created anything like this if I had found it when I was in that dark place. And so how do we, work together so people don't feel alone and people's voices are heard sooner?
Right. Absolutely. And, what you said about, being alone, and people do need to come together, but I think sometimes there's that issue. So patients are the heavy lifters in this journey, right? They're the heavy lifters, creating the awareness, coming together, sometimes raising the funds for research. And it's challenging when you're doing this and dealing with a chronic disease. I would say I can't even imagine this, but to be honest, you said something too that resonated with me. You said, I wish we could have made more progress. And I'm not quoting you, but made more progress before I got into this, right? Before I was diagnosed. And, you never know where life is going to take you when it comes to either rare disease or chronic, disease. My son, healthy up until last December, was diagnosed with Crohn's. He ended up having a pretty major surgery, and his life just kind of took a left turn, right? And we've heard these stories.
And so does yours, right? Took a left turn. Can I just ask you, how was it? So I always say, like what I just said about, like, I wish I had I not see what was around me, and I wish I got involved sooner before I got sick. So you're someone who was involved. Can you talk a little bit about what that was like to be involved already and like know the battle you had up ahead, if that makes sense?
Yeah. I mean, I guess we were in this, we had blinders on because it happened so fast. It really did. Of course, let's add into the situation of, hospitals were pretty much locked down. I had to, wheel him up to the emergency room and say, I got to go, and basically deal with this over the phone. I'm thankful that he's very independent, that he is a go-getter. But I'm going to be completely honest. I felt like my title has advocacy in it, but sometimes I felt like I was failing him. that I wasn't going to the right people or asking the right questions. And some of it you can guide using your experience, but then there's sometimes where you just got to navigate the unknown and just do your best. And, you know, we made it out on the other end. It was a 6 month journey until he was kind of, he's in a good place now, for now, you know, I always say for now. But it was really challenging. It's emotional, it's draining. You just have to keep pushing forward and advocating for yourself. And, you know, who do I reach out to next? What phone call do I make next, to do that research as you go along this journey? As I'm sure you're well aware.
No, absolutely. And like I said, I don't know how everyone's feeling out there, but I know for me, I'm sitting here in shock, just like, cause you spent 13 years, 12, whatever, like in this community doing this advocacy work. And, you know, even you, right, can be blindsided with when you're in it, you know?
Absolutely. And part of my role at Global Genes was to talk every day to hundreds and hundreds of patients, and advocates and caregivers and, you know, parents, and trying to guide them along on, you know, what next steps, connecting them to other patients. I think that's incredibly important. Mm-hmm. So they can get that, you know, advice of, okay, I was in your shoes. I was walking those shoes. This is how, you know, I got to where I am now. So that was a huge part of my job, of what I did at Global Genes, was just really talking to patients, understanding their journey, understanding their challenges, their frustrations, and just helping them in creating tools and resources that would help them along the journey, right? You know, the toolkits, the events that Global Genes puts on, those are all things that, you know, help patients and caregivers, kind of move the needle forward, but it takes everyone. It takes all stakeholders to come together. And there's so much more to do, you know, so much yes. more to do.
And so, you know, on that note of like stakeholders, you know, I think that there's this tension between big pharma, patients and doctors. And I think bridging that gap, right, is one huge step we have to make. And I think that's part of your work you're doing now with Catalyst for Rare. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny when you say big pharma, it's actually Catalyst is a very small company, but a very dedicated company. I wouldn't be here if they weren't. And, you know, stepping into this role, I am very blessed and thankful that I do work for a company that utilizes my expertise in my experience in working with patient communities and patients. But really my role is connecting Catalyst to the patient community, because they are the experts in their disease and they know, you know, what resonates with them. And so several times a year we'll have advisory boards where we bring patients together and talk about what is important to them. And then also talk about the tools and resources that Catalyst is offering to the community and making sure that we are doing right by the patient community, right? And the one thing I love about passionate advocates in the rare disease community is they will tell us, okay, no, you kind of missed the mark there. We need, you know, this is where you need to go. And of course we listen, right? And we bring them along every step of the way to make sure that we are staying on course. And you have to have those discussions, and those discussions happen all throughout the year. And we're available, you know, if someone has a question or someone wants to give us some feedback, some input, you know, we are there. And you have to keep that dialogue open and that dialogue going.
No, absolutely. And I think one of the things that, like, you know, before every show, you know, we look into, you know, what's going on, what they're doing. And I saw like a few things that like really resonated with me. One was like honest communication, I feel like is like posted all over your guys' like stuff and communication, social medias. And so I feel like that's like a value of you guys, of like what you guys are doing. And for me, I know that's really important to know that I can go and be honest and be like, I'm exhausted, and to have to be on the phone with a, you know, blah, 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 blah. And then have that space to say that, right? And someone listen is so important.
Right. Absolutely. And I always say you can read about a disease on a piece of paper. You can read the symptoms, but that only tells such a small portion of a rare disease patient's journey. It's really small. There is so much more that goes into the challenges of living with a rare or chronic disease. And you have to listen to that. And you have to understand that. You have to go beyond the symptoms and really understand the walk of, and the journey of a patient. And that can only be done through conversations and through, you know, having that dialogue back and forth. And that includes caregivers as well.
I love that you just said that because they are like the forgotten. I think about my wife who just like every day in and day out, does the best she can, right? And with this ever-changing, never knowing how I'm going to wake up thing. And I love what you just said about it's the everyday walk. Like you can't judge until you've really taken a look at what it's like for a person on the day-to-day. You know, they still have to work. They still have to be a, you know, like there's no kind of end game at this point.
Right. Absolutely. And sometimes my job goes through the weekends and I say that as soon as they can turn off their challenges on the weekend, I'll turn off my challenge. You know, I'll turn things off on the weekend.
Oh,
you know,
wow.
It goes 7 days a week.
One more time, Amy, for the people in the back. I appreciate that so much. Like just to think about that when they are done, like feeling those things, then like I'll be done. Like, that for me was such a powerful statement.
Absolutely.
You
don't hang your hat up, you know, at 5 o'clock and put it back on at, you know, 8 o'clock in the morning. That's not how this works. It doesn't go away. So everyone needs to, you know, remember that it is 24/7, 7 days a week for the patient, the caregivers, the families, employers. It's constantly, you know, moving ahead, and you got to stay with it.
Absolutely. And there's so much changing on like the day to day. And I think that's where it gets like super difficult, right? To keep up with it. What would be your advice to like someone who maybe just be joining this community or maybe is like on the brink of sharing their like story and starting their advocacy? What would be your advice?
My advice first is to look inward and be honest about what you can and cannot do and what you can take on. I've seen so many rare disease patients and caregivers dive into this with this huge idea of where they want to be. And in their mind, it's going to last in the, you know, they're going to get there in 3 months when it's really 3 years. So just
yes.
Have a realistic idea of what you can accomplish, you know, especially caring for or being a rare disease patient.
Okay. Time out. I just want to know, Amy, where you were when I started rare, because like, I probably took that nosedive in thinking like, I just wanted to do it all, bring the invisible visible. And like, I never thought it would be a short journey, but you're right in terms of I've never thought like what I can take on realistically and what I have to say no to. I that resonates so much. And I could have used that advice when I started.
You know what? It's more common than not. So don't worry. As long as you recognize it now, you are just fine. But yeah, I mean, and then really for those that, I guess my advice for those that are starting nonprofits is to kind of take a look at the landscape of the community. And, you know, don't do too much of the overlapping. See what's already been accomplished or already been done. And, you know, try to fill in the gap. There are so many gaps.
So many gaps.
Mm-hmm. And try to fill that gap.
And I think I love that. I love what you said about that, because I think that's, you know, when I first Googled my, like, when I got my diagnosis and I first Googled it, et cetera, like, I found nothing. There was 3 articles. Now I'm like, immersed in this community. And I see so many amazing people doing so much amazing work. And it's frustrating for me because I'm like, couldn't I find them then? Like, what keywords was I not using or something? And I think that's exactly goes to your point of like, we need to stand on each other's shoulders if we're going to do that, as opposed to like creating new channels. Like there's already 7,000 different channels, you know, of rare diseases. But unless we come together as one community, it's going to be hard to change.
It is. It is. Absolutely. And, you know, you really have to, I guess, you know, when it comes to rare disease, there's so many needs, right? So let's take a particular rare disease. Some people are just passionate about connecting with others. Like you said at the beginning, they feel lonely, and that's really all they need to feel whole again or accomplished. Some are, let's take parents of a rare disease child. Yes. They got a clock ticking and they need to have a treatment or a cure, which would be great, but we know there aren't any cures out there yet. and they're passionate and they've got a clock, you know, ticking. And then there's the research side of things, but there's so many different holes to be filled. And whatever hole you want to fill is great. If that's what you need, then go for it, right? And don't feel like you have to do everything all yourself.
I couldn't agree more. And when it comes, so I'm sure you have plenty of experience with this, but you know, sometimes I see, you know, raising all this exorbitant amount of money for like a certain treatment and stuff. How does Catalyst for Rare like fit into that? Right. I mean, with the research and, you know, like what is their game plan? It's not like they can fund all of them, you know?
Right. Absolutely. So, you know, most pharmaceutical companies, they are continuing to try to do research for rare disease. And you probably know that only 5% of rare diseases actually have a treatment. So we have 90%, 95% out there that are raising their hand saying, we'd like a treatment as well. And so it's really investing into the rare disease community as a whole. These companies need to go and research is, you know, it's costly, it's expensive, and it gets drawn out over time. And that's just kind of the nature of the beast. And so, you know, continuing to kind of move the needle forward and companies looking for opportunities to create, you know, therapies and create, you know, treatments for rare disease. We've got a lot of work to do and we got to keep moving the needle forward. And that's really kind of what, you know, we're doing. And that's what other, you know, pharmaceuticals are doing, is just to try to, you know, as much as they can, you know, dig a little bit more in that big sandbox, because there's just so, yeah, you know, so much. But yes, that's really what needs to be done. And I think, you know, it's a huge endeavor, and we've got to keep going and we've got to keep moving forward. And like you said, every stakeholder has to come together: the patients, the patient communities, the researchers, you know, pharmaceutical companies, and come to the table and decide.
And doctors even.
And doctors, exactly. And come to the table and decide what's important for this particular community, the rare disease community as a whole, and let's get it done. But it's, you know, time, money, effort, absolutely, and collaboration.
And so I had actually a question on this collaboration thing. So when it comes to collaborating, there's 7,000 diseases, right? But for me in my head, I really think like, okay, I get diagnosed with EDS, and with EDS, I basically get like mast cell, POTS, and like you get the triangle, you know, like the trio.
Yep.
And so there's so many like that, right? And so then I take a gene test and my gene test came back and I have brittle cornea, the gene for brittle cornea syndrome. Look that up, and that's another connective tissue thing. So there seems to be all these links, and I'm not saying like, but we're also siloed. Like, so what is your take on that? You know, like is there a way, or are we thinking of a way like, okay, if these are all connected, maybe they shouldn't be different diagnoses, or obviously like not that, but you know, when I'm thinking about like, you know, pharmaceutical companies, we use medications for all these different things. Have we begun that work of like looking at what's connected and what we can group together for research?
That's a very good question. And yes, there are, you know, organizations out there, one being Global Genes, another being NORD, the National Organization of Rare Disorders. They're doing major kind of data collection projects where they're taking data from all rare disease patients. And, you know, and this is where my expertise almost ends right there because it's so scientific and so advanced. But they're collecting data to try to do, you know, this type of aggregating, you know, all of this data together. So it's happening. But it's, you know, it's obviously a massive project and, probably slow and going, but, but yes. I mean, science is getting further and further along, when it comes to trying to collect data, from patients in the patient community for sure.
Amy, if someone wants to like get involved with Catalyst or, you know, learn more about the work you're doing, what's their best way of like going about it?
Absolutely. You can reach out to me, via phone, via email. I'm happy to talk to anyone at any time. Because I, as you can tell, I love talking about this. I'm so passionate about it. So, yes, I am completely available, by, you know, to, if anyone would like to reach out to me and chat for sure.
And is there anything else you think you want to let our listeners know as it relates to your work, your story, your journey?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say that, first of all, thank you so much for having me. You are incredibly amazing. And I'm so impressed by what you're doing and creating awareness, and keep it going. For sure. And, yeah, I mean, it's just continuing to have these discussions, continuing to bridge the gap. I think I am very lucky to be in this position to have so much experience on the back end, working with patients, patient organizations, other pharmaceutical companies, on, you know, the nonprofit side of things. And then to take that passion and bring it to, the for-profit industry side of things and have a company that, that is responsive to that and embraces that and respects that. So I truly am, you know, lucky in the position that I'm in. Yeah, we just got to keep moving forward. We got to bring that collective voice together. I think there needs to be more of bringing, like you said, similar, related rare, diseases together. Because that would, you know, push things, you know, forward even faster. And so that is a great idea, bringing them all together. But, yeah, we just got to keep moving forward and get that voice, you know, out there and keep shouting for sure.
I love that, Amy, because I do believe in that. Sometimes I reach out to people and I'm like, oh, Amy Grover is never going to get back to me. I can guarantee you that. But let me just shoot it out there, because what's the worst that can happen? You know, she doesn't. But a lot of times I'm finding that, you know, obviously she does. And people do, right? Like, people want to stand together.
Right.
And I thank you so much for being here today. I went ahead and linked all of your contact information in our show notes. So people, if you're interested in getting involved with Catalyst for Rare, I know I saw something like Rare Reason and I loved that hashtag. That was so good.
Oh, isn't that great? It's like, what is your reason for being, you know, in the rare disease community, passionate about it? You know, truly, what is that reason? And that, again, just kind of brings people together. I love that too as well.
Oh, it's so good. And I'm like, cause you know, you always see different things and I'm always for a good, like, I always try to sneak the word rare in when the Instagram and everything went down. I went on Twitter and I was like, oh, how rare. Everything's down. Anytime I can get that word in there, I feel like it's been a good day. So
good for you. That's fantastic. I love that. Yeah. Keep it going.
Amy, thank you so much for coming on and sharing not only your story, but resources for our community.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And thank you so much for having me. This has been fantastic. And let's keep the conversation going.
Absolutely. To all of our listeners who join us every week, thank you for supporting us and helping us bridge the gap between rare disease and the rest of the world. Until next time, live large and stay rare.
Catch us next week for another episode. To continue the conversation about rare disease and all the unknowns that comes with it, join our Facebook group. Want even more rare? Become a VRP member on Patreon and learn more about our stories or how to share yours by visiting bwspod.com.